accidents!" screamed Voldemort. But still he did not strike, and the watching crowd was frozen, as if petrified. And of the hundreds in the hall, nobody seemed to breathe but they too. "Accident and chance, and the fact that you crouched and snivelled behind the skirts of greater men and women and permitted me to kill them for you."
"You won't be killing anyone else tonight," said Harry as they circled and stared into each other's eyes, green into red. "You won't be able to kill any of them ever again. Don't you get it? I was ready to die to stop you from hurting these people."
"But you did not."
"I meant to, and that's what did it. I've done what my mother did. They're protected from you. Haven't you noticed how none of the spells you put on them are binding? You can't torture them. You can't touch them. You don't learn from your mistakes, Riddle, do you?"
"You dare?"
"Yes, I dare," said Harry. "I know things you don't know, Tom Riddle. I know lots of important things that you don't. Want to hear some before you make another big mistake?" Voldemort did not speak, but prowled in a circle, and Harry knew that he kept him temporarily mesmerized and at bay, held back by the faintest possibility that Harry might indeed know a final secret.
"Is it love again?"
said Voldemort, his snake's face jeering.
"Dumbledore's favorite solution, love, which he claimed conquered death. Though love did not stop him falling from the tower and breaking like an old waxwork, love, which did not prevent me stamping out your mudblood mother like a cockroach, Potter. And nobody seems to love you enough to run forward this time and take my curse. So what will stop you dying now when I strike?"
"Just one thing," said Harry, and still they circled each other, wrapped in each other, held apart by nothing but the last secret.
"If it is not love that will save you this time," said Voldemort, "you must believe that you have magic that I do not, or else a weapon more powerful than mine."
"I believe both," said Harry, and he saw shock flit across the snake-like face, though it was instantly dispelled. Voldemort began to laugh, and the sound was more frightening than his screams, humorless and insane. It echoed around the silent hall.
"You think you know more magic than I do?"
he said.
"Than I? Than Lord Voldemort, who has performed magic that Dumbledore himself never dreamed of?"
"Oh, he dreamed of it," said Harry. "But he knew more than you. Knew enough not to do what you've done."
"You mean he was weak?" screamed Voldemort. "Too weak to dare? Too weak to take what might have been his? What will be mine?"
"No, he was cleverer than you," said Harry. "A better wizard, a better man."
"I brought about the death of Albus Dumbledore."
"You thought you did," said Harry, "but you were wrong." For the first time, the watching crowd stirred as the hundreds of people around the walls drew breath as one.
"Dumbledore is dead."
Voldemort hurled the words at Harry as though they would cause him unendurable pain.
"His body decays in the marble tomb in the grounds of this castle. I have seen it, Potter, and he will not return."
"Yes, Dumbledore's dead," said Harry calmly. "But you didn't have him killed. He chose his own manner of dying, chose it months before he died, arranged the whole thing with the man you thought was your servant."
"What childish dream is this?"
said Voldemort. But still he did not strike, and his red eyes did not waver from Harry's. "Severus Snape wasn't yours," said Harry. "Snape was Dumbledore's. Dumbledore's from the moment you started hunting down my mother, and you never realized it because of the thing you can't understand. You never saw Snape cast a Patronus, did you, Riddle?"